Going back to 1 Peter 3, which I think Colin started off, and then I spoke about it once, and I didn't really finish off, so I'm going to do a little bit more. But it's not particularly about, it's not an exegetical work. It's using that as a background. 1 Peter 3. I'll just read most of it. Finally, all of you, no, sorry, from verse 8, sorry, I do apologise. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you do suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ once also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Some pointers here to pull out, I think. We should be like-minded. We should be in one mind. We should have a common goal in that sense. We are here because we love the Lord Jesus. We may be here, and I know, no, we're not really, but we may be here because we're seeking him. And we have to bear that in mind, that in a congregation, it's open, it's not private, it's not for members only. We're not necessarily all like-minded, and we need to be open to that. A couple of things last night sort of made me... you don't cringe, but you think, oh. They had a raffle, and I'm not easy with raffles, really. And they had... and it's great. I don't want to criticise, but we're like-minded, and I think we need to stick to those truths, what we're like-minded about. I go for the town, and the whole town's out shopping on a Sunday morning, and it doesn't sit right with me, really. We need to have a like mind. We need to stick with our principles in that sense. We need to be sympathetic. We need to love one another, because we're all members of the same family. Our brothers and sisters are generally pretty likable. It's quite easy loving one another in this congregation. It's not difficult. No one's horrible. And it's always not difficult to love nice people. It's quite easy. I do it all the time. I'm surrounded by very likeable people, very likeable children. It's very easy to like them. When you get difficult ones, it's very hard to like them. But we're really meant to be loving one another, whatever. We don't repay evil with evil. This is verse 9. We don't pay back. Two wrongs don't make a right. My mother always used to say that. Two wrongs don't make a right. I don't know where she got that particular phrasing from. Perhaps it's a Staffordshire one. Two wrongs don't make a right, she used to say. And then punish me. So I'm not sure quite how that worked. Okay, that's fine. We'll call it quits. No, never worked like that. Or the head teacher used to say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Okay, well, let's just pack it in now. You know, if you want to be hurt, don't do it. Don't want to be hurt. Didn't quite work like that. But we don't repay evil for evil. And I say to kids... quite often, you know, don't retaliate. Just turn the other cheek. Just ignore it. They find it very difficult to do that. In fact, I have some parents and they say to the kids, if he hits you, you hit him back. This was in the Christian school. If he hits you, you hit him back. And I had to speak to those parents, not in a nasty way, but as the head teacher, I had to say, as a Christian school, we don't do that. If someone insults you or hurts you, you shouldn't be repaying evil with evil. But it's tough. It goes against the sort of common view. Peter here says, this isn't what should happen. We shouldn't be doing that. Rather, we should try and repay evil with blessing. It's hard, but it can be done. And I want to just look, it's very, very brief today. I want to look at an incident that sort of does that, where someone could have gone, made choices that could have taken them a completely different way. Psalm 34, I like this bit. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This should be our intention. This should be our mission statement, to do good, or to turn from evil and do good. And I'm looking at this, the key verse in verse 11. Really, the key of the key is they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. I watch the news, and I'm a bit obsessive, as I am in everything, but a lot of the news moves me terribly. A reformed ex-prisoner, and this is very much close to the hearts of all of us here, because we've been so involved with ex-prisoner, ex-offenders. This guy fought the London Bridge attacker, and you know, well, you will know the story, and you'll see the picture. He goes after with the fire extinguisher. He said he was prepared to die to protect others. His name was John Crilly, and he was jailed for murder after a burglary went wrong. He was a burglar, things go wrong, and he was jailed for murder because he was there with intent, but I'll come on to that in a second. He tackled this guy, Usman Khan, and he believed at the same time he was wearing a suicide belt. This is a suicide belt that not only blows up the wearer, it usually takes the lives of those around the wearer, because it's an explosive bomb. And he says himself, I was screaming at him to blow it, to pull the string that blew this belt. He was prepared. He said, I was prepared to lose my life. Keep those verses from before in your head. As he and others fought Khan on the street, he shouted at police to shoot the attacker. Shoot him, he's got a suicide belt. He's 48. He told at the moment armed police confronted the knife man on London Bridge. He said it seemed like ages before they shot him. It wasn't all gung-ho and trigger-happy. They took their time properly, to the point where I did scream at them, shoot him. They have to be very careful. And the police particularly, you can't just shoot anyone. You've got to take your time and you've got to be absolutely right. Khan was a convicted terrorist. He killed two people. I don't know if you know, he killed two Cambridge graduates. One was called Jack Merritt and one lady was called Saskia Jones. He wounded three others and he launched his knife attack on the 29th of November, just before 2 o'clock, during a prisoner rehabilitation conference at the Fishmongers Hall. Crilly had been attending the Learning Together conference and remembers hearing a very high-pitched girl scream when he knew something was wrong. He went downstairs to find Miss Jones, 23, lying wounded, before he saw Khan in the corridor armed with two knives. After shouting at Khan, asking what he was doing, Crilly remembers his chilling reply. He said something like, kill everyone or kill you. Something about killing people. And people asked him, Crilly, if he thought Khan was targeting specific people. He just said it seemed like everyone there was fair game. I just assume now that he saw it as a big target, a room full of establishment people, judges, probation, police, security, staff, and participants of the conference then attacked Khan with whatever they could find. Crilly fought him first with a wooden lectern. If it was this one, he'd barely get it off the floor, but it was some kind of lectern. Fought him with that, and then he found a fire extinguisher. All the while, he believed he had a live suicide belt. He said he acted on instinct, and he was screaming at Khan to blow the belt, calling his bluff. But Khan, the terrorist, told him then he was waiting for the police to arrive before detonating the belt. I was prepared to probably lose my life, he said. Two men used a pole and a whale tusk ripped from a display on the wall to to fight off Khan and force him out of the building. Cridley and others use their makeshift weapons to pursue Khan onto the street on London Bridge. In the video footage, he's seen using the spray from a fire extinguisher to blind Khan, while another man held him back with the whale tusk. He said the spray distracted him, if you watch the footage, and the guy with the tusk has been able to give him a prod, which has unbalanced him. Video footage shows the moment the London Bridge attacker was apprehended, other bystanders intervened to pin him down before the police shot him. Cridley was close friends with Mr. Merritt, 25, he died, the coordinator of the Learning Together programme, who says he changed his life. He described Mr. Merritt as easy to talk to and who made you feel comfortable, even important. He actually listened and you could tell he was really genuinely interested. Asked if he considers himself a hero, Cridley said no. Jack gave up his life. He would be my hero. Before this, Cridley was given a life sentence for murder and robbery in 2005 after he and his associate, David Flynn, broke into the home of a 71-year-old person in Manchester. And this person died after being punched in the face by Flynn, not by Cridley. Cridley was convicted under the Point Enterprise Law, which can apply to all crimes, but has recently been used to convict defendants in gang-related cases, even if they did not strike the fatal blow, but could have foreseen that their associates might have inflicted serious harm or killed someone. It was known as the foresight test, and some believed it set the prosecutorial bar too low, allowing bit part players or those on the periphery to be convicted of murder and given life sentences. However, in February 2016, the Supreme Court ruled the law had been interpreted wrongly for more than 30 years. The foresight test went and a higher test was introduced. This is justice, really. That's too low a bar. The bar's too low to convict someone for murder is what's being said. If you go along with someone who then kills someone, you never intended to do that, and the foresight test is too low there, so it's been changed. To be guilty of murder, the prosecution had to prove that the defendant had intended to assist or encourage the crime. However, most of those who wanted to appeal against their convictions were out of time, and the Supreme Court said they had to show they would suffer a substantial injustice if they were not allowed to appeal out of time. Back to Cridley. While he was in prison, he completed a law degree. When he heard about the overturning of the Joint Enterprise Law in 2016, he believed it would apply to his case. After a successful appeal against his murder conviction, Cridley pleaded guilty to manslaughter and became the first person since 2016 to have a Joint Enterprise murder conviction quashed. He was released on licence last year after serving 13 years in prison. No one else has successfully appealed such a conviction since 2016. Speaking at the time, the family of the murdered victim said that the incident had a devastating effect on the family, who took a number of years to come to terms with their father's death, and they were sickened by this person's early release for his part in the murder. They said, "We wish him well, but also wish that our father were alive and free to live his life." So you've been wrongly convicted, quite correctly so. The judgment is quite collected that you've been wrongly convicted, but the family are going to find that difficult. Cridley was released and saved lives. He was a hero, even though he didn't say so. The campaign group, Joint Enterprise Not Guilty by Association, called JENGBA, which helped bring about the law change, works with people who have been convicted of murder or manslaughter under Joint Enterprise. The co-founder of this, called Jan Cunliffe, said the group is always mindful of the victims of crime. She claims that although the law changes welcome, the introduction of a substantial injustice test for retrospective cases has made it hard for people to appeal against their convictions. She said that although Cridley did not commit crimes when he was younger, everyone should have the opportunity to turn their life around. If John hadn't been there and kept in prison for life, he wouldn't have been there to save lives on the 29th of November. In the new year, the group will campaign for the abolition of life sentences for children convicted of murder under this joint enterprise law. This is a guy who went wrong. No burglary is not good. It's bad. It's evil. It's a crime. It's wrong. And burglary can turn to something far more serious. I've not spoken to lots of prisoners. Steve has. They will say they're there often because they lost their temper or it all got out of hand. Somehow they went wrong. I mean, they wouldn't say they didn't go wrong. but the thing was not meant to be like that. This guy was convicted of murder. He served 13 years, which is not far off a manslaughter sentence anyway. He was released, and then he saved lives. And he's self-effacing enough to say he's not a hero. The person who helped me in that group, helped me get back on the outside, is the hero, and that person's dead, and so is the person who helped them. And I see in this, what Jesus was talking about. We need to come and we need to see our weakness. We need to see where we can change. Clearly served a sentence. We don't serve a sentence. Jesus has had that sentence paid for us. And then Crilly goes further, and unthinkingly really, he saved the lives of other people. And he's turned from evil and done good. He's sought peace and he's pursued. He doesn't think he's a hero. And I think in the new year he's going to be honoured as a hero, my belief anyway. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue. When we had the lads here on that lovely Sunday, some weeks ago now, wasn't it? And they filled the plate. And did they sing? Gosh. They sang, and I was so moved because those are hearts that have turned to Christ. Those are hearts, and you can hear through their voices. Don't look at them because they still look rough. But you can hear through their voices and what they say. And their testimony is that this is where the gospel really works. They have turned from evil and they've done good. They've sought peace and they've pursued it. I mean, and the famous ones, you've got Simon and you've got Anthony, and they're the famous ones. They've famously done it. But they would say they're not good people. They've turned from evil. They wouldn't. They're self-effacing enough to say, no, I'm not a good person. I'm a sinner and I've turned from evil and done good. And for many of us, for me, I turned from evil. Yes, I wasn't a murderer. No, I wasn't a burglar. But it's how you were running your life. It's my intention was to run life for myself, to enjoy it, and blow the consequences. That's how I saw life. And that's evil. That's evil. That's as evil as anything. And when Jesus came to me, I accepted him and I turned from that. And then we can see the difference. Gosh, I was going my own way. I was looking after myself. Now I want to pursue peace. I want to do that one. Do good and seek peace. We're all sinners. We stay as sinners, but we're forgiven sinners. And that's such a difference. Such a difference. We have a stamp on our card, if you like, that says, past. Simple as that. Past. And we didn't do the work for that stamp. We didn't do the work. John Crilly is a sinner. I really, really wish he'd been in the walk. I really wish that it would give the glory to Jesus Christ. There's work to be done in his life. But just, he's no different to anybody else. We've got a whole town full of people who need to turn to Christ. He's no different. He's no different. He got into crime. He ended up in a situation where a man was killed. And not very long ago, he'd have been executed for that. He'd have been killed for that crime. He'd have been murdered by the state, if you like, for that crime. And that's why I'm passionately against capital punishments. Because that's repaying evil with evil. I believe that, and I know you might have a different argument. He would have been dead for that crime before 1966, I think. But now he's turned from evil. He's still a sinner. We all are, but he's turned it around. It's turning it around. It's so different. Like a great many of released prisoners, we had a whole church full who've turned it around. They've turned it around. They want to do well. They may want to do well for different reasons, but they've turned their back on evil. Sadly, not enough have done that. Still, prisons are leeching people who go out and do it again, and they come back in prison, and it's a career. Still, I mean, Steve would say, you know, that we're not catching them all, but we're catching a few for the gospel, and that's just enough. Not enough. He's on the track of seeking peace. He's on the track. I really pray that someone will find those guys and actually tell them about Jesus Christ and tell them the story of the prodigal son. Tell them the story of the person who's repented from evil. Tell them the story of the people who've been doing evil and then have found Jesus Christ and done good. There's the stories all over the world. They're buried there. They're hidden. just like the carols are hidden at Christmas and replaced by jingle bells and Santa got stuck up the chimney. It's hidden because actually the world is uncomfortable with the message. You're uncomfortable with it. It's a tough message. Actually, Jesus Christ saves you, not yourself. Actually, you need to go his way, not your way. Actually, you're the least important person in the room, not the most important. Do good. Don't do evil. Do good. Don't live for you. Live for him. And he's just like the rest of us, John Crilly, but we have found Jesus and he needs to find Jesus. I think I'm going to finish soon. I think he saved lives. It's undoubtable. We don't know what... It's like crime prevention. You don't know what crime you've prevented. That guy was stopped with two knives. He might have had his... It could easily have been a real suicide belt. John Crilly would have lost his life because anyone within about 20 yards will be killed by one of those belts. He may have lost his life, but he was prepared to give up his life for the good, for the greater good, to help others. That's a Christian thing, and I really pray that he finds Christ. He doesn't consider himself to be a hero, but he's got that British characteristic. It's the guys who got the broom and the two brooms and the bread tray when the other guy had it, and they were prepared to take it from the bakery. They're prepared to take on a knife man with a bread tray. I salute them. They're my heroes. But they wouldn't say we're heroes. They'd say we're doing what we do in this country. It's a British characteristic. Don't let us let go of that. Fairness. We used to call it fair play. Fairness. Justice. That's not fair. I'm going to do something about it. We're quite a reticent people. We hold ourselves back. But by golly, when we don't, we see the difference. He didn't hold himself back. The bakers with the tray and the brooms didn't hold themselves back. Fair play. I really sincerely hope John Crilly gives his life to Jesus Christ. I really hope he makes a complete turnaround as I see it. He's turned from crime, he's in the process of doing this. In that process, he put himself, his life on the line against a person who would have done even more evil. I really would love it if he was honoured in the New Year's honour list. He may be, I don't know. We should never write a person off for their misdeeds. You should never look at the crime and say that's bad. The person's bad. Beneath every sin is a sinner who needs Jesus Christ. Never write them off. Jesus never did that. He was with prostitutes. He was with tax collectors. He didn't look at the deeds. He looked at the person. And he said, you need to repent, yes, but I love you, he'd say. We need to seek good and shun evil. We do that anyway, yes, but we need to preach that message and show it by our life. Shun evil, do good, seek good. Always be compassionate and humble. Humble. It's easy when you're not good anyway. Humble's the easy. Compassionate, actually going out of your way to show compassion, to show that you actually care for the person that you've never met. It's not the friend who dies for you who's the greatest giver. It's the person you've never met before in your life who dies for you who's the greatest giver, I believe. Compassionate and humble. And give the glory always back to God. God has the glory. I'm going to finish by reading this, which I read this morning. And it's about Jesus Christ. It was in Welsh, so I'm not going to read it in Welsh. I'm going to read it in English. He was imprisoned by his Jewish flesh and bones within the confines of his country. But he gave them as living planks to be nailed and raised from the grave, despite the guarding, a Catholic body, by his father. And now Cardiff is as near as Calvary. Bangor every inch as Bethlehem. The storms in Cardigan Bay are stilled. And on each street the deranged can obtain salvation at the edge of his hem. Do not hide his gospel among the clouds of Judea, beyond the eye and tongue of man. But he gives the life that will last forever in a drop of wine and a morsel of bread and in the Spirit's gift in drops of water. Amen. We're going to sing. I don't know if you're going to pay, Steve, but I wanted this... I keep calling it Advent song. And he's coming again. Lo, he comes with the clouds descending.